As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 304, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. We still got 2 hours as we take you to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Obviously, we opened with a lot of Mets as they took down the Phillies 4-3, sweep the series, and more than that, just absolutely take it to the Phils. I know we're not doing Philadelphia sports radio, but I just got to tell you, as a Met fan, nothing would make me happier. Forget everything else. Philadelphia coming off losing to the Mets in the playoffs last year. Step into that building for the first series against the Mets this year with all the hype the Mets have. Getting Juan Soto, improving the higher expectations, playing well, coming off a 4-game sweep, first place in the division. And Philadelphia walks in and gives you that effort. And the Mets dominate them, even though, you know, it might not have been 10-0 in every game, but the Mets just are better at every aspect and win all 3 games, including a game that they absolutely had no business winning late in the game with Max Kranick on the mound with a run in the top of the 10th. Like, own the Philadelphia Phillies. So we started there. We'll get to the Yankees now here for a second as they win a very important game against the Cleveland Guardians to get to 15-10, avoid being swept for the first time in a 3-game series in Cleveland since 1970 or something crazy like that. And they did it on the back of Carlos Rodon, who we're going to get to two specific players here because obviously it's a good win. It's a solid win. Judge is incredible, and we could do that every day. I mean, Judge, remember the caller? I don't know if you guys remember this, but I had a moment where I just lost it on a caller. I think I was filling in for Keith, or I think it was the day of the NCAA tournament or something. I don't know. And a guy called me and, you know, said, Freddie Freeman's a better player because he gets singles. It's harder to hit singles than home runs. And that Judge is an all or nothing player and a home run hitter. And how could you say he's the best hitter in baseball? Well, I mean, I don't know if he's making a concerted effort to be more of an average hitter necessarily, but what we are seeing from him is he was 6-for-6 over 2 games at one point. I mean, his at-bats are just incredible. He is as locked in as he's ever been. The ball isn't leaving the ballpark, although he did hit one 420 feet off the high wall at the deepest part of the park. And then, of course, we know he missed a home run that should have been called a home run in Tampa on a foul ball call, which was ridiculous. So he's hit the ball well enough these last couple days to have 2 more home runs, but he's just been on fire, and he's hitting everything. You throw him a strike, he's putting it in play hard right now. It's remarkable. He's hitting over 400, and I think the conversation, maybe we can make this a little bit later in the week and next week, it's not going anywhere, but, I mean, Pete Alonso. those are for all of you who think I only make Yankee Freudian slips. Aaron Judge right now is the best hitter in baseball and absolutely has a chance to have the best year of his career and win the Triple Crown. Like, that is on the table. I mean, he could win his third MVP. We're talking about now. I mentioned Pete Alonso in the Hall of Fame if he hits 500 home runs. If Judge wins another MVP, you're talking about a Hall of Fame player. He could win the MVP and never play again. If he has another season like he did last year, he hits 55, 60 home runs, hits 360, wins a batting title, wins a Triple Crown, wins an MVP. That's it. Mark him for Canton. It doesn't matter. Canton, Ohio. What am I talking about? Cooperstown. You can mark him for Cooperstown right now. But I want to talk about Carlos Rodon because I think Carlos Rodon, and I've yelled about him too, and I still don't know if I trust him in the biggest of spots. I think that's fair. He's going to have to do a hell of a lot more than get off to a nice little start to make me feel confident in Carlos Rodon. But if you've been watching Carlos Rodon, right, and I know the frustration from Yankee fans, and I know Yankee fans don't want to admit this right now, but Carlos Rodon has been as important as a Yankee, besides Max Fried and Aaron Judge, as anyone else. And the way this pitching staff has been, and you're talking about, you know, Cookie Carrasco, and you're talking about, you know, Marcus Stroman, and you're talking about Will Warren, the only two pitchers they have in this rotation, and we'll see if, you know, Clark Schmidt could start to find himself as he's only made two starts. I mean, there are two legitimate starting pitchers in this rotation right now. And Carlos Rodon is one of them. And from opening day on, yes, he's had the typical game where it was going well for him, and then he made the one mistake. Against Pittsburgh, against the Giants. But even in those games, we have seen really nothing but really good pitching. Now, he's got to continue this and not make mistakes. But yesterday, one run, which honestly, he probably doesn't even give up if Bellinger doesn't misplay the ball in center field, of one run in seven innings. And we are now we're seeing, with the warm weather, his fastball tick up. And we're seeing strikeouts today. I believe he only walked one or two guys. The walks were down today, yesterday. But Carlos Rodon has been excellent to start the year. He's been really good. And he is a huge part of this team. And this was a big-time performance because, again, you're going, I think it's Cookie Carrasco today, Friday, rather, against the Toronto Blue Jays. And you did not want to finish off that road trip getting swept by Cleveland. And for him to give them that performance of seven innings, and I know the bullpen has been somewhat rested over the last couple of days, which, again, somewhat, because of how busy it's been, and they have the off day today, but to be able to give this team seven innings, to get the swing and miss on the changeup, the slider, he looks like a different pitcher to me. I know we've seen some of the same issues in giving up the big home run or making the big mistake, but I got to be honest with you. Watching him this year, he looks like a different pitcher. He is throwing his changeup more. He's getting his curveball. He's throwing his curveball more, and he's getting it over for strikes early in the count. He's getting more swing and miss on the slider. And after the early season fastball around 92, 93, his fastball is back up to 95, 96, 97. And I thought he was excellent in this game. And what we've seen a couple of different times here is him struggle early on and then find it. Now, he didn't give up. He only gave up one run, and again, it was an unearned run, and he should have even given it up. But, like, we've seen games where he's given up the three runs early and then settled in. And in this game, shaky early, didn't have command, and then settled in. And he struck out six guys in a row at one point and retired 11 of 12. Like, this was a dominant start from Carlos Rodon against a good team that won the first two games of this series and had won five in a row. Carlos Rodon has been excellent, and it's time we just be fair. He's had his moments, and again, I'm not ready to tell you game one of his ALDS right now. I feel great throwing Carlos Rodon out there. He's got to prove to me he can do that, but right now, this year, his pitch mix, his ability to get swing and miss, his ability to gut through starts where he doesn't have it to begin, I think we are seeing a lot more from Carlos Rodon than we as Yankee fans would like to admit. Because we're frustrated with his contract, we're frustrated with how he's pitched in prior years, we're frustrated with missing half the season his first year, and we're frustrated by his blowups in the postseason or his inability to control games. I get it. And I'm not telling you that he is fixed and we are going to see a great Carlos Rodon the rest of the year. I don't know what's to come, but so far this year he has been a steadying force and he has been a very positive pitcher and a very positive player for the Yankees and won the game yesterday for the New York Yankees. And now let's get to the bad real quick, because I started the conversation with Anthony Volpe yesterday. And today, another miserable performance, leaving a Village on base, striking out four times, and looking awful. And the biggest problem I have is looking like he can't catch up to the fastball. That's the biggest problem with Anthony Volpe right now. He looks like, even in fastball counts, he is getting beat by 94. If you throw 94 or higher, you're going to beat Anthony Volpe. And right now, that's a major problem. But let's talk about, because I know this conversation and I've heard it a lot. Like, let's talk about the reality of Anthony Volpe, the real issues, and what the Yankees should do about it. Because it seems like we're blurring the lines here, and here's the thing, right? Anthony Volpe is 24 years old, or about to turn 24 years old. But this is his third season. So I don't think it's fair, because you see a lot of people who will defend him and say, well, he's only 24. And they'll use, well, Judge at 24 was in 2016, and look at how he played. This is his third full season. I understand he's 24. He's seen plenty of major league pitching. He has got to be better. He's got to be more consistent. There's no doubt about it. But at the same time, like, what do we want the Yankees to do? The biggest problem with Anthony Volpe, for a Yankee fan, I guess, is that they passed on all these shortstops for years in hopes of either him or Peraza, right? It was him and Peraza were the two top prospects in the organization for a while. Volpe eventually became really the top prospect, but they opened competition up a couple years ago for shortstop. Either one of them could have won it, but they passed on Seager. They passed on Correa. They passed on Turner. They passed on all these shortstops along the way, because they knew they had two in the farm system that they wanted to give a try to. And that eventually becomes Anthony Volpe.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit dollarshaveclub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
And everybody now is really upset at the idea that they are continuing to throw him out there. Like I've said, Anthony Volpe has got to have a better offensive season this year. Otherwise, I don't guarantee him to start next year. But he's getting this year. And for Yankee fans who are upset, I keep hearing it, oh, they got to bench him. Why is he treated different than other prospects? Blah, 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 blah. Like, what do you want them to do now? They don't have another option. You want to play Peraza? Have you seen Peraza hit? Like, if you just want Anthony Volpe out of the lineup because you can't look at him, you're not being reasonable. They don't have a better option. And then if you, like, I heard a call to Keith. Like, if you're complaining about his defense, you're lost. You have no idea what you're talking about. None. If you want to blame him for the error that scored the game, the eventual game-winning run the other day on a looping, like, line drive that he had, no, that is a short hop on a line drive where he's playing in defense, he's playing in behind the bag. Like, that is an impossible play. The idea that he booted that ball, I saw a bunch of clips tagged, Anthony Volpe boots the ball, leads the third run. Like, that is an impossible defensive play. But did you see him play in Tampa Bay? Did you see the play in the hole he made? Did you see the relay throw to throw a runner out at third? Have you seen the way he's played defense this entire year? Anthony Volpe is playing gold glove caliber defense. There is no doubt about it. So if you want to be mad at his offense, I'm with you. I'm frustrated with his offense. But don't turn this into something else. Anthony Volpe, as currently represented and is currently the rest of the roster, is without question their best option at shortstop. Peraza stinks. The Yankees know it. Every time he's had an opportunity to play, he hasn't come through. Peraza stinks. Anthony Volpe's 24 years old. I'm not giving him days off just to play Peraza because I'm tired of looking at him. Now, if you want to give him a day off here or there because you think it benefits him as a player, we could have a discussion. But Anthony Volpe, without question, is and should be the starting shortstop for the New York Yankees for really the entire rest of the season. He's getting this third year. This is a big season for Anthony Volpe. But I'm not benching him. I'm not moving him. I'm not playing Peraza for a while. I'm not trying other things. Anthony Volpe is the starting shortstop for the New York Yankees. Anything else is absurd. Now, they have George Lombard in the wings. And next year, I absolutely think the team should go out and sign a shortstop who legitimately can challenge Volpe for the starting role. If he continues to hit like this. Now, we got to see, he's been up and down. He had a terrible April last year and then had a very good May. And then had a terrible June and then had an okay July and then had a terrible August. He has been the definition of inconsistent. And right now, he is in a slump and looks completely lost. He is swinging at sliders way off the plate. He is getting beat by every single fastball, and it looks atrocious. And he has left a million guys on base, and he's hitting sixth because the Yankees are big on this right-hand, left-hand thing, and they don't really have another option. They don't have another right-handed hitter to put sixth. You want to move him down the lineup? You can't hide these guys. And they don't have a real better option. And Jason Dominguez is terrible right now, right-handed. So I'm not doing anything else but playing him at shortstop and hitting him sixth. That's it. I think Aaron Boone and the Yankees are doing exactly what they should do. I'm playing him every day. He's playing shortstop every day because he's brilliant defensively. And again, I don't need him to be Gunnar Henderson. We don't need him to be Bobby Witt Jr. You just need him to hit 250, 260 and give you representative of the bats consistently throughout the year. And have a 7.720 OPS, get on base and steal bases. What I do think the Yankees can do in the meantime is play a little small ball with him. Right now he's struggling. You get runners at first and second, nobody out. Give him an opportunity to do something productive there. Lay down a bunt. Maybe use your speed, get a base hit. They can do that, but ultimately, as much as I'm down on him, the reaction from Yankee fans on what the Yankees should do right now, I'm saying, oh, bench him. I can't say, move him down the lineup, play somebody else, do something else. No, there's nothing else to do. They don't have another option. He is the starting shortstop for the New York Yankees, and he's going to be so all year long. I'm not even looking to trade for a shortstop at the deadline, to be totally honest with you. They don't have enough chips, and it's not. They need starting pitching more, and they'll probably need like a right-handed bat. If you find it at shortstop, I suppose maybe, but I'm probably looking, you know, for third base or another place. I mean, I suppose you can move him over. I don't think you can get Volpe off the field, is what I'm saying. Because they need another right-handed bat, not a replacement for him as well. And I just don't think it's there. Anthony Volpe is your starting shortstop all year, and then you adjust in this offseason. But right now, Aaron Boone and the Yankees are doing exactly what they should. You should play him every day. He's great defensively, and you have to see who he is. And I fully admit, they have Lombard coming up in the farm system. If this continues with Volpe, you have the shortstop of the future down there, and then you just go get a veteran shortstop that you could bring in and make a real competition for Volpe next year. But I can't sit around and wait for Volpe to be great because he's 24 years old. Like, at this point, I'm sorry. There's things to be frustrated about. There's things to give him a break on. There's reasonable takes, and there's reasonable frustration. I think it's unfair to just say, hey, he's 24 years old, he'll figure it out. This is year three. He's got to be better than this already. But I'm also not benching him or doing anything or trading for someone else or moving on right now. He's getting this year. He had a reasonable start to the season for the first 2 weeks. He's been awful the last three. And we got to see where he is. But, like, the overreaction to Anthony Volpe, like, it's just overreaction to everything. I get it. Right now, they're not scoring enough runs, and the bottom of the lineup hasn't been good enough. And Bellinger hasn't been good enough, and Wells hasn't been good enough, and Volpe and Jazz, the same thing. But Anthony Volpe is the starting shortstop for the New York Yankees. Let's not pretend there's a better option. Let's not pretend he's also bad defensively. Let's not pretend he's still a positive at the shortstop position right now, but he's got to get better offensively. It's got to start now. This is a big year for him. This will dictate whether or not he's the starting shortstop for the next couple of years. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Ralph in Long Beach. What's up, Ralph?
Hey, what's going on, Big Mac? I'm a little depressed about moving out of Bradley Beach, missing out Duke's Walker's dog. But beyond that, I'm just psyched. I got my Tuck jersey on. I'm ready. Give me some time with this. I know you want the quarterback. I got to have Carter. I got to have the pressure. I go back, you know, way back.
I know.
50 years as a Giant fan.
But that doesn't, again, I appreciate, I'm not saying you don't know what you're talking about because I'm just saying that, I think you are. I'm not saying you don't know what you're talking about. That's how I'm prefacing it. I'm just saying that just.
Tell me why you want this kid, Sanders. Tell me why.
Because.
Tell me why.
Because he's all right, okay. Because he's the two things that the quarterback for the New York Giants has struggled with the most over the last couple of years with Daniel Jones was an inability to read the field and an inability to play with a pass rush in his face. And Sanders is good at both. Those are the two.
Should have been the quarterback.
Those are but I'm just saying those are his. Those are his.
Who's back there?
I disagree with you.
But
okay.
But I understand what you're saying.
But I'm saying Joe Burrow plays just fine with a pass rush in his face and one of the worst offensive lines in football. He's played just fine, and Shador Sanders he got sacked 9 times in a playoff game and won the game. And Shador Sanders,
that's true.
Shador Sanders is proficient in playing behind a poor offensive line and reading the defense. And I think his arm strength is better than people say.
You're right about that.
Yeah, what I want to just say to you, Ralph, is I don't want to dismiss your knowledge and your experience and everything.
But what happened, and
thank you, and your knowledge is great too. I'm just saying how the Giants were built in the 1980s it's not the NFL of the 1980s, and it doesn't really hold any significance on how the team should be built now.
You woke me up, my friend. Great point. But let me ask you something. You want him, you get him, right? You get Sanders. Are we going to mentor him? He's going to start. Tell me where you put him.
I put him on the bench for a while. They just signed, and thank you for the call. I put him on the bench for a while behind Russell Wilson and or Jameis Winston. And if the season goes okay and they're winning games and they're in the mix, I sit him the entire year, hopefully. Hopefully I win 8 or 9 games with Wilson or Jameis. And I'm able to sit him the entire year, win some games, satisfy the owner, build the team around him, and then have a whole year of him watching and learning with Brian Daboll and ready to attack the field next year. But at any moment the season becomes dead or it's trending that way, then I put him in. I think they're in a unique situation where I wouldn't do what they did with Eli Manning. One, Eli Manning was a more top prospect. He was the first overall pick. They traded for him. But at 5-3, the Giants would never, nor should they, go to the young quarterback like they did with Eli Manning. The Giants were 5-3. Yes, I think they were 5-1 and lost 2 games in a row or whatever the case may be. But they were 5-4, rather. I'm sorry. They were 5-2 and lost the last 2 games, something like that. But they were 5-2. It was kind of trending in the wrong direction, but they were 5-4. And they made the decision to scrap Kurt Warner and bring in Eli Manning. At 5-4, with the way the team has played over the last handful of years and how dead the seasons have been, there is no way they would move on from Russell Wilson or Jameis Winston if they're 5-4, nor should they. They should try and win as many games as they can this year, especially if they draft a quarterback. And I'm not concerned about picking at the top of the draft next year. But that's when I would go to Sanders. I would go to Sanders either when the season's dead or hopefully give him the entire year. And I don't subscribe to the idea, as much as I subscribe to the quarterback, the idea, because I get a lot of pushback on this, is, well, if you're going to draft him third, how do you not justify playing him? If he's so good he's worth the third pick, how do you justify not playing him from the jump of the season? That's where these guys, that's what happens with these guys. Well, May was drafted third and did not play until the season, didn't start the year as the starting quarterback. You don't have to do that. I do think there's a learning process. I do think he's got a coach. I do think, you know, he would benefit from an entire year of learning the offense, and they did sign Russell Wilson, and the owner is desperate for some wins. So I think that this is a good fit for it. I thought last year was a great fit for it, too. That's why I wanted a quarterback, because I had one last year of Daniel Jones, so I knew who the starter was, and there was no pressure. At least this, and now that they've signed Wilson, I guess there's less pressure. But Daniel Jones certainly was going to be the starter for a while. But that's where I'm at. And look, I'm fine with Jackson Dart. Again, I am not, I want to make this clear. I have not been pounding the table for Shador Sanders. I like Shador Sanders more than most, apparently. I do think he's going to be a good quarterback in this league, and I think he has a chance to be the quarterback for the New York Giants that they're looking for. But I'm all with Brian Daboll. I've been saying this from the beginning. They kept him. They brought him here because of his ability to develop quarterbacks. Specifically Josh Allen. He got the best year of Daniel Jones' career. And he turned Tommy DeVito from a guy who came into the game against the Jets and wasn't allowed to throw the football to a guy who threw multiple touchdown passes in a game against the future playoff team and won a game against the Green Bay Packers on a primetime game. Like, I think he's done well with the quarterback position. I think he can do well with the quarterback position. I want to use that. I want to utilize that. I don't want Brian Daboll to come and go and never feel like I gave him an opportunity to do what he does best. So I want whoever Brian Daboll thinks is going to be the best quarterback. If that's Jackson Dart, I'm fine with it. If it's Shador Sanders, I'm fine with it. And if they can find a way, don't get me wrong, dream scenario is they draft Hunter or Carter third, and then find a way to jump back into the first and take Shador Sanders or Jackson Dart. And right now, someone just sent me a message. Shador Sanders, on the betting sites, the over-under of his draft slot is now 21.5. If he falls back that far, then trade back into the first round and get him. And then you get the great defensive player and you get the quarterback. Dream scenario, I will be the happiest man, the happiest Giant fan you can find. I just can't guarantee that. I need the quarterback more than I need the dream scenario. I don't want to draft. If the dream scenario doesn't happen, would I rather have the great defensive player and no quarterback, or the quarterback and no great defensive player? I'd rather just have the quarterback. And I know tomorrow to later today is the draft, but I just feel like I can't keep screaming I want the quarterback. Like, I've made my point clear. We'll continue to take talks on it. Now the thing coming out is the idea of trading Kayvon Thibodeau as part of the package to move back in or whatever the case may be. And I literally went through it today. If you just Google Kayvon Thibodeau, There is a story from almost every team in the NFL that they are looking to make a trade with the New York Giants for Kayvon Thibodeau. Like every team in the NFL, the Niners, the Bears, the Chargers, like every team, the Bucks. I read a story about the Bucks looking to trade for Kayvon Thibodeau. And the assumption is that if they draft Carter, it makes him expendable. Now, here's how I feel about trading Kayvon Thibodeau. And I'll make this very clear. I'm only doing it for the quarterback. That's it. If they draft Carter, number three overall, unless I'm using Thibodeau to move back into the first round to get the quarterback, if that's what a team wants, if he's sitting there at, what are the Chargers picking, 22? If he's sitting there at 22 and the Chargers say, hey, we'll trade you this pick, but we want Kayvon Thibodeau in the deal, done. I will trade Thibodeau to help me get the quarterback in the first round. But I'm not just using him to get more draft picks later on. I'm not deeming him expendable if they draft Carter. Right? Because to me, if you're going to draft Carter, the exciting part about it is how many pass rushers you have. And the idea that the Giants now have a dangerous top-of-the-league pass rush with Burns, Thibodeau, Sexy Dexy, and Carter the draft pick. Like, I want all of them. I want to have and make that unit. If I'm drafting someone where I already have kind of a strength, right? I have Thibodeau, I have Burns, I have Sexy Dexy. They're not unbelievable. I think Thibodeau is probably a better pass rusher than we give him credit for, but a lesser overall player. Like, I don't think he plays the run that well. But when he has an ability to just pin his ears back, I do think he can get after the quarterback a little. Now, he's not nearly been proven to be worth where he was drafted, but I do think he's a very serviceable player and can be a good edge rusher in this league. But if I'm drafting Carter despite having the strength there because I deem him to be this great pass rusher, well, now let's make that unit elite. So I'm not automatically looking and or declaring Kayvon Thibodeau as expendable and will just take calls on him for anything. Like, it's not like, well, hey, I drafted Carter, so if anybody wants to call me on Kayvon, if you want to give me a third round pick for him, or you want to give me whatever for him, like, come and make your best offers for Thibodeau because now he's expendable. I don't agree with that. But if I can use him, if he's got that kind of leverage or, if he's got that kind of value that he could be used to be a part of a package that gets me back into the first round to take the quarterback, then I would do it. If I draft Carter, I don't deem him expendable unless it's to get the quarterback. If the Chargers are like, hey, you know, we want a third round pick, we want this, and we want Thibodeau, it wouldn't stop the deal for me. I'd be like, okay, you want Kayvon? Let's talk about how we can make a deal around Kayvon and what other picks you need. Because if I get the quarterback, it's worth it. Other than that, I'm not just opening it up. I'm not saying, hey, give me a third round pick. Hey, give me this. You know, not enough. It has to lead to getting the quarterback. Then I will do it. Even if it's as simple as moving up in the second round. Like, if the Browns call me with that first pick in the second round and say, hey, look, we're going to take, you know, Jackson Dart fell into the second round. We're going to take Dart here. It's going to take Thibodeau, your next pick, and something else to move up to get your quarterback. I would do it then. I would do it to get the quarterback. Other than that, I'm not trading him. 888-808-1019. All right, so a little bit of Giants talk there as there's been news circulating about trading Kayvon Thibodeau if he becomes expendable. Not doing it unless it gets me my quarterback. Because you know how I feel. This draft will be, to me, I don't care what else they do. If the Giants do not come away with a quarterback of the future with either a pick in the first or second round, this draft is a failure for me. And that's just how I'll feel about it. I will not be excited. I will be disappointed. I will feel like the draft was an absolute waste unless they come away with a quarterback in the first two rounds. And I don't even care who it is. I'll be honest with you. I have feelings. Like, this is where I think I disagree with, you know, a lot of the callers who've said this to me. Like, I don't have to give you who I think. Right? I really don't. I can tell you who I like. I think Milrow has ability, but he scares me as a project. I think Jackson Dart, I'm concerned about the offense he played with in Ole Miss. I'm concerned about how many hits he takes. We've already seen a quarterback. I was just watching the John Gruden thing with him, and John Gruden is laying into him for not running out of bounds and not shying away from contact and playing dangerous football. We just had a quarterback who did that. Like, I'm concerned at the idea of a running quarterback who's reckless. That scares me. His inability to read the field, or at least his inability to be asked to do so at college, scares me. He seems like a project to me. I prefer Shedeur Sanders, but I think they should take whoever Brian Daboll thinks. So if Milrow is the pick in the second round, I'll be happy. That means the Giants believe he can be the guy. And it's more important what they think than what I think. But they have to come away with a quarterback in the first two rounds. Otherwise, the draft is an absolute colossal failure.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 340. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. The other little Yankee point I'll make before we kind of, we'll probably get into a little bit more football and Knicks in the 4 o'clock hour as we open with baseball. We'll talk Mets as well again. The one thing I do want to just say, because I had to say it, for all of you Devin Williams haters, everyone who thinks he should be taken out of the closer role and everyone who thinks he stinks and blah, 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 I do just want to say this. Now, I'm not saying Weaver has been great this year and far better than Devin Williams has. But this is the randomness of baseball in some ways. I know people get mad when you say that. And yeah, I said that Williams has been bad overall, but his last appearance where he blew the 4-run lead, he had real bad luck. I would tell you that yesterday, Weaver was worse than Devin Williams was in his inning where he gave up 4 runs, and yet he didn't give up anything. Weaver in the game, like, you want to go look at, and again, hard contact isn't everything, but look at Weaver. Weaver in the 9th inning yesterday gave up 4 balls hit and put in play. 105.3 miles per hour, 102.1 miles per hour, 103.8 miles per hour, and 101.3 miles per hour. He had 4 extremely hard hit balls against him. 2 to the wall that didn't go out, and then the final play, well, 3 to the wall technically, and then Bellinger makes an incredible catch to end the game. He was worse than almost any time we have seen Williams. He got absolutely torched yesterday and got out of it without giving up a run. And Williams got beat by soft contact on 3 different hits. I mean, that's just the randomness of baseball. Because I'm telling you right now, that outing from Weaver was worse than what Devin Williams did a couple of days ago when he gave up 4 runs. He was worse. They had better at-bats. They had harder contact. They were smoking everything. Weaver gave up a couple of, Williams gave up a couple little bloopers and a ground ball that got through and, you know, an infield single. He was getting a lot of soft contact. He was missing barrels. Weaver didn't miss a damn barrel yesterday, and yet no one's going to complain about Weaver. That's just the randomness of baseball. Devin Williams will be fine. And it's just funny because everyone's clamoring for Weaver to be the closer. They use him in the 9th inning instead of going to Devin Williams. And I'm curious about that a little bit because now Devin Williams hasn't pitched for a couple days. He's off today. It's going to be a 4-day, right? Would he pitch on Saturday? So no Sunday, Oh, man, he hasn't pitched in a while. More than 4 days. I think Saturday was his last appearance. So no Sunday, no Monday, no Tuesday, no Wednesday, no Thursday. Oh, yeah, 5 days before he could possibly pitch again on Friday. And they could have used him there with a four run, with a big lead in the ninth. They chose to go to Weaver, and Weaver was awful and got out of it. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Teddy in Yonkers. What's up, Ted?
Hi, Mike. And I mean, I'm calling you Mike because you have a lot of Francesa in you, man. I love it. But Chris,
and you sound you have a lot of Buchanan in you.
No, not me.
No.
the thing with Volpe's, listen, he's second in the team in RBIs, and they're in first place.
Yes.
I'll take that. I'll take that any day of the week. And he's playing a good, like you say, a good defense. Now, with the Giants and the draft and everything, whatever happened with taking the best player in the draft? This thing with Vebo, I think he's a bonehead, all right? Him and Shane are two boneheads. And this thing is a scam, what they did up in Buffalo, because that dude would have been a great quarterback if Woody Allen would have been there.
Yeah, I think that's completely unfair, Ted. I think that's completely unfair. Like, so this is how it works. When a guy is, when a guy is great, we give coaching no credit whatsoever. Like, that's it? I mean, come on. The idea that Brian Daboll had nothing to do because Josh Allen was going to be great anyway. Again, how much credit? I shouldn't even say that because we give credit to guys. Like, how much credit did what's his name get in Washington for Jaden Daniels, the former Cardinals coach? I don't know why his name is escaping me at the moment. Kingsbury. Cliff Kingsbury, the offensive coordinator for Washington. Doesn't he gets a lot of credit for Jaden Daniels. And Jaden Daniels was great from the beginning. I mean, yeah, maybe the start of the season, the first couple games he wasn't great, but go back and watch the turnover machine that Josh Allen was. Go watch it. We have seen guys with talent flame out in this league. The idea that Allen was so great that there was under no circumstance, no matter what team he went to, no matter who his coaching staff was, no matter what, his talent was so immense that he was always going to be this. I don't believe that. Now, does he have great talent? Of course. You can't turn crap into great players. But go back, first, look at the draft and all the work done on him coming out of Wyoming and how he was the biggest project quarterback. Him and Lamar Jackson. Lamar was probably going to have to change positions, and Allen can throw the ball 80 yards, but like the competition, we don't know what kind of player he's going to be. He was the project. And year one, he was awful. He turned the ball over a ton. He was terrible. There is a maturation process, and Brian Daboll was there for it. And whether or not you think that's a scam or not, that's hindsight looking back on it and his giant future, or his giant tenure, rather, and you're telling me, it's all BS because he's been bad as the Giants head coach. He couldn't have really helped Josh Allen. And whether or not he did or not, that's why he was hired. Like, plain and simple. If Josh Allen sucked and never became anything, Brian Daboll wouldn't have been a head coaching candidate. Brian Daboll doing what he did. Brian Daboll doing what he did there is what made him a coach, is what made him viable to be hired. Why not give him an opportunity to do that? Like, that's his biggest thing. And a lot of Daniel Jones fans, you blame the coach for not getting the best out of Daniel Jones, right? We all think, God knows how many of you out there think Daniel Jones has all the talent in the world. He can throw the ball. He can run. I guess it's every coach that failed Daniel Jones. How come Daniel Jones, if he's so talented, hasn't come out to become a great player? Every draft pick has talent. Wilson had talent. Why we don't blame the Jets and what they did? How come he wasn't so great to just find it and become a great player? Like, part of it is coaching. And how come it always seems like the better organizations are the ones who find the quarterbacks and make them work? I'm just saying. I'm not giving him all the credit in the world. I'm not saying Josh Allen wouldn't be great without him. I'm not saying that he's the reason Josh Allen's as good as he is. Of course, Josh Allen has immense talent. But he went from a turnover machine year one into a superstar by year three under Brian Daboll. That's got to count for something, and it's why he was hired. I got to see if he can do that. Because that's what turns around franchises. That's why the Bills are where they are, winning the division every year. Because they drafted and got the quarterback right. Look at the rest of the team. Look at the wide receivers. Look at how decimated they were by injury on the defense 2 years ago. How many defensive players they lost because of cap hell this year. Like, and yet here they are, division champs, playing in the AFC Championship game year after year after year. Why? Because they found, drafted, and developed their quarterback, who wasn't a top pick, who was drafted after guys like Sam Darnold, and drafted after Baker Mayfield. That finding the quarterback and making him successful is the best way for sustained winning. That's it. So when I'm drafting third, I'm taking that shot. That's how I feel about it. Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up, Stu?
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. How are you, buddy?
Why can't Rodone do that all every Thursday?
Well, he's done it the last two. He's done it the last two. And honestly, he's been good this year. I know he lost a couple games and made the one bad pitch that sealed his fate. But even like he hasn't had those blow-up innings where he's just an absolute disaster.
You're right about that. He hasn't had blown-up. We can't trust him in the big spot. As of yet.
And
Aaron Judge, what's the batting average going to be at the end of the year? Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, right now he's hitting .415.
Yeah, and like you said, he gets that third MVP and how many home runs? You could get a chance to get pass 62.
Absolutely, he's got a chance to pass 62, of course.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, he's unbelievable. Yeah, no, he's got a chance to pass 62. I don't know if he will. I think he's a lock for 50. I would feel very confident he's going to hit 55. It's just a matter of if he plays, if he's healthy all year. I mean, that's just the kind of player he is. Now, 62 is tough, but yeah, he's of course that's on the table.
Right, and the thing is, the rest of the pitching staff has got to come together. What about Hill? What are we hearing about Luis Hill?
The only thing we've heard about Luis Hill over the last couple weeks has been that it wasn't necessarily a setback, but I think it was last week that they did an MRI.
Last week something.
Last week they did an MRI on his injury on his shoulder or lat muscle, and they were hoping that they would have seen enough healing to start a throwing program. And they didn't. And they said it was going to be another 10 days before he starts throwing. So I don't know if that's necessarily a setback. It's just it hasn't reached the level of healing that it has to before he starts throwing again. But that was close to 10 days ago or something around there. And they said it's going to be another 10 days. So I would imagine within the week we should be hearing that Luis Hill is starting a throwing program, hopefully. Otherwise, it'll be another 10 days or whatever the case may be. The healing isn't there. But and sorry, Stu, the line was a little noisy. But the only thing we've heard with Hill is that the injury wasn't healed enough, pun intended, to start a throwing program and that it was going to take another 10 days. So that was close to 10 days ago. So hopefully Luis Hill starts a throwing program soon. But I don't think, I'm not counting on Luis Hill will be here hopefully in July. That's it. Any day before the All-Star break, I would consider a win. But the Yankees are good enough to overcome it. Hopefully he comes back and is good and becomes dominant like he was at times last year, the start of the season mainly. And maybe he even benefits from the time off and maybe he becomes, he hasn't had a ton of innings. You'd like to have had him get more innings this year so he could be up for more innings next year. But, maybe he'll be refreshed. He did look a little like the length of the season got to him and the innings got to him last year. Maybe it'll be a blessing in disguise. But right now, the key opponent, you mentioned it, Carlos Rodon, Max Fried has been unbelievable. He's been the ace they hoped he would be. He's gotten off to a great start of his Yankee career and a great start to this season. And the other guy is Clark Schmidt, who has only made two starts. The second one wasn't very good in Cleveland. The first one was okay against Kansas City. And you're hoping that he can continue to pitch well and become what he was last year, which is a guy who doesn't go terribly deep into games, but pitches to an ERA under three. And then if Carlos Rodon is going to be this version, those three right there will get you past Will Warren and Cookie Carrasco for the time being. So, I mean, that's where this rotation is. It's the absolute, you know, I mean, it's the worst part of their team right now. I mean, some of the lineup, you know, issues have been bad. Jazz is hitting 165. I thought Jazz had a better game yesterday. Two walks and a base hit and a stolen base, which I'm hoping to see more of. But he's got to put the ball in play more. A bunch of more at-bats that, you know, we're seeing the continued thing that we've seen previously with this team. The inability to get the runner in from third. They had an opportunity to blow this game open early and couldn't get it done. They scored two runs. They should have scored three or four. And Volpe's absolutely killed them. Chaz has really been bad in that spot. Austin Wells eventually comes through with an RBI double, but he's been bad with a lot of strikeouts to start the year. Bellinger, I'm going to give Bellinger a break, whether that's fair or not. We'll see what he is. First year as a Yankee, had a back injury to start, you know, early part of the year with the bad weather. That probably put him in a little bit of a funk. I'm going to give him a month. I'm not overly concerned about Bellinger just yet, although he's looked bad. I'm more concerned about Volpe, to be honest with you. At least Bellinger has a track record. Volpe has a track record of being this exact player. And right now he's hitting 198 with a 680 OPS. If he hits 200 with a 680 OPS, he can't just be given the starting shortstop job next year. Can't. That they have got to bring in someone who can compete for the shortstop job, a legitimate guy who can compete for the shortstop job. Now, if Volpe has a great spring, I'm open to having him be the starter to start the year. But I got to have a better option than Peraza on the team to actually be the shortstop if we see more of this from Anthony Volpe.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.